Well, good evening and welcome to week 9. It's hard to believe. It's week 9 of Stop and Live with Jane Vandress, Massage Therapy Radio's weekly radio program. My name is Scott Dartnell and I'm your host. Thank you for joining us. Stop and Live is about living in the present and being conscious of how our thoughts and emotions can attract positive outcomes. Our goal is to guide listeners to a new level of consciousness through awareness of higher self and our connection to others. Learn to be in the present and develop your intuition. Be guided by Jane Vandress, Reiki Master and Intuitive Healer, to use the talent you have within you. I'd like to introduce my friend, colleague, and spiritual advisor, Jane Vandress. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you, Scott. How are you this evening?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. I think we have a really nice show lined up this evening. And as usual, as I always say every week, I look forward to this time we spend together. I just wanted I'm sorry, Jane.
I was just going to say I'm always happy to be here.
Yes. I'm just so excited. I'm just talking too fast. But for those who are on our broadcast page listening live over streaming audio, you can contribute your questions and comments in the Q&A box on the bottom left. I encourage you at the end of our broadcast, you can click through on there's a big button that says next week's broadcast. Click through on that link and submit your questions for next week's show, because like we always say at the beginning and the end of every show, we use those questions in a show, whether it's the next week or in the very near future after that. And we use these questions to shape our next program. For those listening over the phone, please feel free to email questions to Jane at your convenience. You can do that easily by emailing Scott, myself, at massagetherapyradio.com. And I will forward those questions to Jane. So it's just massagetherapyradio.com, and that's Scott at. At this time, I'd like to encourage listeners not to be afraid to submit. Jane and I had talked about this early in the week. Jane, remember we were talking about people may be hesitant to submit some questions, and people had actually emailed you and called you saying that they were nervous because they were worried about their question being perfect.
That's right. That's correct.
And what was your answer to that?
Well, we welcome all questions, and we want you to be honest. This is the whole idea, so that we can answer what it is that you want us to talk about. We encourage you, don't worry about making any mistakes. There is no such thing as a mistake. Just share your question, and we'll do our best to answer the best to our abilities.
And we enjoy it. We love the contributions. We have so many great people continually giving us really, really great material. And actually, tonight we have a few questions already, and I can't wait to get to them. I'm excited about it. I wanted to read tonight's affirmation to set the tone for our program tonight. It comes from Marcia Norman, and it goes, "Dreams are illustrations from the book your soul is writing about you." And this is a large topic, because we've talked about this numerous times about dreams, Jane, and it's funny that this has come up as a topic for this week. I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you have a dream that you'd like to share with us, Scott, yourself? You know, the dream doesn't have to necessarily be a dream that we've had in sleeping state. I mean, it can be a dream or a goal that we've set for ourselves and manifested within our life, or maybe something that we're still working on.
Oh, I'm going to let you start first, Jane.
Okay.
And I'm going to think about that.
Well, if you want to look at it another way, too, is the whole idea of our soul writing as a book. It has to do with every moment of our life, right? So when you look at it that way, every moment that you're living, you're continually writing this book. If you look at it, too, is life being a play, you're always the actor or actress within your play, within your life. So I mean, this is an ongoing thing. Some people might have more profound dreams in their, you know, sleeping or waking states, whereas other people have dreams that they feel maybe aren't as or as important or as wowzers as some people. Everybody's dreams, no comparison, everybody has wowzers. The fact that you're dreaming, the fact that you're manifesting, the fact that you're wanting to have a goal, and or as Martin Luther King said, I have a dream, and that you want to manifest that and bring that into a reality for you, that's what the miracle is. And, well, actually, when we were talking about the affirmation at the beginning of the week, I went and checked out to see if I could get somebody's story other than my own that would kind of pop at me that I wanted to share tonight with everybody. And one that I kind of was guided to is with Paul McCartney. And Paul McCartney, I mean, everybody probably doesn't even have to need me to elaborate the Beatles, but Paul McCartney and the Beatles. And he's one of the most famous singer and songwriters of all time, so they say, which I agree. And he wrote the song Yesterday in 1965. And he says that the tune came to him in a dream. And it was said that the Beatles were in London in 1965, and they were filming the movie Help. And Paul said that one morning in a dream he heard a classical string ensemble playing, and this is how McCartney tells how his dream took place. Says that he woke up with a lovely tune in his head, and he says, I thought that's great. I wonder what that is. There was an upright piano next to me, to the right of the bed by the window. So I got out of the bed, sat at the piano, found G, found F sharp minor, seventh, and then that led me right through into B and E minor, and then finally back to E. And he said that it all leads towards logic. He said it all leads forward logically. He said, I liked the melody a lot, but because I dreamt it, I couldn't believe I'd written it. I thought, no, I've never written anything like this before. But I had the tune, which was the most magic thing. And that's how he came. So he dreamt of yesterday, and then he wrote it. He knew he wrote it within his dream, applied it in the physical life, and made it a hit, made lots of money, made a lot of people happy. And there's a lot of people who've had experiences like that. Another one was Mary Shelley, when discovering she had a dream through, or is it a he, right? Mary Shelley's a he, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a she? It's a she, right?
I should know.
Anyways, it's to do with Frankenstein. So the dream, there was a dream, and then the Frankenstein, the movie was made, and also the book. I'm going to say she, and if I'm politically incorrect, then somebody will correct me. Mary sounds like a female. And anyways, so the film and the book was created from a dream. So, I mean, there's many people like that who have had that. Or intuitive visions, you know, like Albert Einstein with relativity, the theory of relativity. I myself have not had to that degree of dreams or profoundness. But I did have a dream. All about a year before I actually trained to take Reiki, that I actually had a dream, and there was a man in my dream, and he was guiding me, and he was showing me. He was doing energy healing, and I was watching him, and he said, watch me, because you're going to be doing this someday. And I said, what do you call this? And he said, Reiki. So that's my story.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit more info involved. What the funny thing was is in the dream was the person that he was actually doing healing on was my mother at the time. And at the time I never, you know, I was like, okay, my mother, maybe it's just, you know, that he just chose for her because it's somebody closest to me. What had happened was a year later, my mom actually had a stroke, and I did healing on her while she was in the hospital and had amazing results from that. So it was all linked together. It was quite amazing.
That is incredible. You know, it's I think we all dream, you know, and some of them are inspiring and some of them are frightening. I think that you know, most the dreams that I think about now are conscious of where not specifically where I want to be in 5 years, because I don't want to give up 5 years to specifically get to a dream. You know what I'm saying? You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to dream 5 years away. But, you know, I think about like the dream vacation, about being able to go to Italy and Greece for the summer and visit the Greek islands. To me, that would be a dream vacation. I love ancient cultures, and I really respect the, in, you know, Europe is such a sophisticated society, but in so many areas, people live such a, simplistic and happy life, and really enjoy good food and company and nice weather, and those are the things that I love. To me, life is about food and about getting together with people and breaking bread and sharing wine and stories. And that would be, you know, for me, I think it would be a dream also for my wife to do a beautiful trip to Italy and to Greece. And what I need to do is I need to put it up on a board for myself as this is a dream. This is the first step, and I need to go to the next steps to actually accomplish those dreams.
Well, they sound like wonderful dreams.
Well, I think so. I mean, everybody has their own. Some people want wealth. Some people want security. Some people want relationships and love. And I could certainly use more wealth, but on a number of other different areas, I'm happy with those. Those experiences, those thoughts, from different movies and books, those images that I've got in my head, I can't wait to one day experience those. So I guess that's my conscious dream. I'll have to think more. Maybe in a later show I'll think more of an unconscious dream that had an effect with me. I just can't recall one right now.
Perfect. Beautiful. We have time.
Well, we have, I have to thank, tonight we have Mary, Nancy, and Debbie that have contributed some questions. And again, using our question and answer box that's provided for on the broadcast page. Our first question comes from Mary in Burlington. Are we ready to start?
Perfect. I'm ready.
Hi, Jane and Scott. Thanks for your show. My question is about intuition. I'm making an important decision in my life, and I want to make sure I make the right choice. What are some ways my intuition may speak to me and guide and help me and help to guide me? Thank you. Well, thank you, Mary, for that question.
Thank you, Mary. So, people experience intuition in many different ways. The first and foremost, to work with your intuition, you need to ask your question and be open for an answer. And some of the ways that your intuition can speak to you would be, it can work through direct intuition. So that way you would know exactly what your intuition is saying. For example, you may have a dream or you may have a vision, and a family member might come to you in that dream or vision and speaks to you and perhaps says, slow your life down and smell the roses. Now, that would be a direct intuition, with the fact that it's a message, it's coming from someone who you trust, and it's relevant to what's going on in your life right now. Another way would be an indirect intuition, which would be symbolic. So you may receive a vision or a dream like of a turtle. So you might see the symbol of a turtle and a little bit more elaboration. Maybe the turtle is walking around, on your property, and it's moving very slow, as turtles do. And then you would try to interpret, how does this symbol relate to me in my life at this time? And again, that could be symbolic for another way of saying perhaps you need to slow down. So there's different ways to experience intuition. You can have, as we've spoken in previous shows, we've spoke about clairvoyant, and that's intuitive seeing. And for my own experience with clairvoyant, using my intuition that way, I had thought in my mind what my house was going to look like before my husband and I found it. So when I did find it and we saw the home, we knew right away that this was home for us, because we intuitively, we had already linked up to it because we had already saw it within our mind very clear. There's also clairaudient, which is to do with hearing messages. Another one would be intuitive feeling, which is clairsentient, which is when your body feels the intuitive knowledge. You might get chills, you might get a gut feeling, you might feel a tingly sensation. You can also have intuitive tasting and smelling. Also, people can use the sixth sense, which we use phrases like, I sense that it was going to happen. I'm into it. This doesn't depend on the five physical senses or the ability of language to describe the experience. It's just, you just know. Your dreams, meditation, quiet moments, they all allow intuition to speak to us. The intuition provides people with insight. And what happens is when you go to, you know, through your dreams or through meditation, you're actually going into altered states of consciousness. Now, there have been experiences where dreams and meditation that inventors actually saw their creations in detail before they created them. So also when you're using your intuition too, you'll find too that if you're not using your intuition, you'll find that your logical mind, your brain is very, very busy. So you need to quiet that part of the brain, and then intuition is unable to be heard. So this can be introduced or tuned in by activities such as drumming. A lot of people find that very useful, drumming circles. Again, as we've mentioned many, many times, as I'm a firm believer in meditation, silence, focusing, guided imagery, daydreaming, and there's also going into nature, prayer, and rhythmic dancing. There's also what we call zoning out activities, such as driving, or maybe running, or listening to music. Intuition is, it's our greatest teacher, because it teaches us about life, and within the process of teaching us about life, we learn more about ourselves. So when we're willing to learn, then we are ready to allow the intuition to come in more fluently and stronger. Because when we're ready to learn, we're ready to do the work, and we're ready to practice. So it's like any friend that you have, you need to get to know that person first before you trust them. The same holds true for your intuitive friend. Explore, play, have fun, practice, many different ways. Listen to your friend, and you will begin to trust your intuition. So for Mary, just let it unfold naturally, and I hope this helps you, and good luck with your decision that you're about to make. Good luck.
It's funny, Jane, that you talk about daydreaming. So many times in our life, and there's such negative connotations attached to daydreaming. And it's a shame, because some of the most still, quiet, or creative moments come from daydreaming, looking out over the water, relaxing. And, you know, people say, oh, you got to pay attention. Well, we're paying attention to so many different things. And to hear you mention daydreaming, I'm glad to hear that it can actually be a positive thing. You know?
Definitely. Daydreaming, you're using imagination. Your imagination is part of your intuition.
Exactly. And that's, I think, in so many different I was listening to someone today talking about negotiating, and they were saying where imagination leaves when people have trouble negotiating a settlement, it's because imagination has left the process, because they see an obstacle as a negative, and they put it aside instead of just looking at that and being creative about that topic. Or thinking about that topic, coming up with these different ideas, and then that's when the creative process really starts. Instead of being stuck by something that you're not sure about or you don't like, is to actually sit down and talk about it and think about it and let the creative juices flow. And you can surprisingly have some great outcomes from that.
That's for sure. When you speak about it openly, too, somebody else could share their creative outlet with you and help you along that process as well. It doesn't have to be solely yourself. You're still guiding people to you.
Exactly. Well, our next question comes from Nancy. Nancy says, hi, Jane and Scott. I've been listening to your program, and I just want to say how much I'm enjoying your shows. Well, thank you very much, Nancy. We appreciate those comments. I am learning so much. Thank you. Here is my question for tonight's affirmation. I never remember any of my dreams. Is it possible for someone not to dream at all? Are there any techniques that I can do to remember my dreams?
Great question. They're all great questions. Well, thank you, Nancy, for submitting this. For your answer, is it possible for people not to dream at all? Well, sleep research does show that everyone does dream 4 to 6 times a night. Can be more for some people, but on the average. And intention is very important for when you're dreaming. First off, setting your intention to remember your dreams. That's most helpful. To remember your dreams, you need to, well, change your behavior of the way your mind works. And the ways that you can try to change the way your mind works would be that you could, when you awaken in the middle of the night, or especially when you awaken naturally in the morning, try not to move. Don't even open your eyes. Take the time to think about the images that are in your mind. Perhaps you remember a face, maybe it's a feeling, maybe it's some sort of event or action. This is going to help you to bring you back to the dream. You might also want to have a notebook and a pen by your bedside. This helps too, because what happens is if we wake up in the middle of the night or you wake up in the morning, you can record what you remember. So you can write it down right away, especially when it's fresh in your mind. You can what you need to do is you need to train and teach yourself to do recall. So what you want to do is you want to reinforce your intention before you go to bed at night. You want to, as you're laying in bed, it's best if you, what I suggest is that when you're in bed and you're laying down, just do a recall over your day. So it's like, okay, you know what, I woke up, I brushed my teeth, I washed my face. I mean, try and get as detailed as you can. You know, I went and had a shower, had a nice breakfast, what did you have for breakfast, got in my car, went to work, noticed the scenery on the way to work. And then what you're doing is you're training your mind to recall. Now, the other thing is when you go to bed at night after you've done the recall, you want to repeat to yourself that when I wake up, I will remember my dreams. You're reinforcing your subconscious mind. So you repeat that over and over and again. And a lot of times when people repeat that over and over again, it can put you to sleep too. So what you're doing is, now that you're going into sleep, you've got that as a last thought before you go into your dream. When I awake, I will remember my dreams. The other thing that's good about your dreams too is appreciate your dreams. Have fun with your dreams. Don't judge them. Don't criticize your dreams. Laugh and enjoy them. Be amazed by what you're experiencing. You would want to recognize your dreams, share your dreams, trust your dreams, listen to, when you share your dreams with somebody else, you want to listen to their insight and comments from other people, because that can give more information into your dreams as well. You might want to, read up some books about dreams and dreaming. The more you explore your dreams, that's the way you're going to discover something new about yourself. It's a powerful tool to use for waking your higher consciousness. So I thank you for your question, Nancy. And thank you for your kind words. And I hope this helps you to remember your dreams.
Very good, Jane.
I know this works for me.
Our next question comes from Debbie. And Debbie asks, I've done some reading on the law of attraction. I understand that what you focus on, you attract. What is a vision board, and how can this help me manifest it into my life? My goals and dreams. By the way, I love your show. Thanks to you both, Debbie. We're getting a lot of nice comments tonight. Thank you to everyone. Really appreciate it, Mary, Nancy, and Debbie.
Well, thank you, Debbie, for your question about vision board. Vision board's getting more and more out there. It's been out there for a long time, but it's been only certain people that use it. And now we're realizing that everyday people can use a vision board because it helps to make your visions a reality. It's a visual tool to assist you in knowing what you want and understanding what your goals and your dreams are and then creating them and manifesting them into your life, just like the law of attraction, which the law of attraction speaks of actual vision board as well and gives you a little bit of idea behind it. So to create a vision board, first of all, you need to be clear about what it is that you want. And the best way to do that from my own experience and from what I've learned is making a goal list. So on one side of the paper that you want to write what you want, and the other side you want to write what you don't want. So through this contrast, you get a better understanding of what it is that you do want. And make your list very detailed. So the more and more you go down your list and you keep adding and subtracting, and that you become and get a bit clearer picture of what it is that you want to bring into your life. You don't have to just have one goal or dream. You can have many. So then after that, when you understand what it is that you want, you set your intention, the intention of why you're creating the vision board in the first place. So your intention, your purpose for creating it, and you want to create your visions and your dreams. So you set that clear and pure intention with. Then you prepare your board. Now you can put it on any kind of board backing. You might want to use Bristol board. A lot of people use Bristol board. You don't have to have it big or huge. You can have it smaller if you like. It depends on the individual. Then you're going to cut out pictures. And a lot of people will find magazines very helpful. So you go around and you look in magazines and you look in pictures and see what images that best describe what goal that you want to manifest into your life. You can use words as well. So you can cut out words and sentences. You can cut out money as well. You can use numbers. And you can take photos out of your photo album and present them that on your vision board as well. You want to, as I said before, you want to describe in detail what it is that you want. And after your creation of your dreams and your goals, then you're going to place it somewhere where you're going to be inspired. So the vision board is to be used as a tool. So it's to help you to see clearly, vividly, and repetitively. So the goal and your goals that you want to manifest in your life are in your face all the time. So you're reinforcing that in the conscious from the subconscious. It's a powerful tool, as I said before, in any area of your life. And it's a lot of fun to create. My own personal story with the vision board is that, I was just saying this tonight in my meditation class, that we were talking about vision board. And I said, you know what, I have to make a new vision board because I'm appreciative and grateful that my vision board has actually been manifested. So everything that's on my vision board pretty much to date now, is I've manifested through. So I actually brought out the house that I'm living in now was through my vision board and actually got so detailed that when we actually came into the home, we actually saw from the view from our living room that the outside view of our home was actually one of the pictures that I posted on my vision board. That's how detailed it became. Also, by purchasing a barbecue, by looking on the vision board, it was actually the very same barbecue that we bought. And I forgot I even put it on my vision board. So even though you forget sometimes, as long as you do the work in the beginning, that it's repetitive and you can really see it and feel it, then you don't have to, you really focus on it as much because it's already there and you put it out there in the air. You just allow it to happen. So that's what happened with my vision board. So I'm, as you can tell, I'm ready for a new one. So what we find with vision boards, too, that a lot of peak performers and great business people are visualizers because they feel it, they see it, they experience their goals. They act in the beginning as though they already have it. And you can do this, too. You can live out of your imagination and you can manifest your miracles. So I hope this helps you, Debbie, and I hope that you enjoy creating your own vision board. And thank you so much for the questions tonight. We're delighted to have you share them with us, and we encourage our listeners to keep sending them in, and we'll keep answering them.
Now, Jane, I was going to ask you another question about the vision boards. Do people cut pictures right out of magazines and put them on there, or, say this is the house I want, or the car I want, or the trip I want to take, or this is the body that I want to look like? Do people do that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what you do. And with a magazine, you can cut out of anything. I mean, but especially if children are going to create vision boards, you probably want to going to supervise a little bit what they cut out because they might go into things that you don't want them to be cutting out pictures and, you know, and doing that sort of thing. But you can use pictures from anywhere. I mean, magazines are the most common places to use because, there's so many vast magazines out there, right? So, I mean, everything under the sun is in a magazine now, so you can pretty well hit all your goals that route. But definitely, whatever it is you want to manifest, no matter how great, no matter how small, no matter how, something that you think is minor or you think that it's, oh, my gosh, it's too great. There's no way I can manifest that. Put it on your vision board. That's what the vision board's there for. It's there as a tool. It's there to reinforce. It's there to allow you to be present in the moment by focusing on this vision board. When you're focusing on this vision board, just clear your mind and allow your mind to be open so that this information is being downloaded in. And then you become a walking every moment about what it is that you want to manifest. You bring that into existence. Also, another thing about even with the vision board, like anything else in life, is always already be grateful. So when you're making the vision board as well, everything you're putting on the vision board, you're actually feeling as though it's already happened. Best way to get that feeling is say, thank you so much for, so say you wanted to manifest a card. So say you wanted to manifest, I don't know, a convertible. I don't know much about cars. I'm going to just go that detail, just a convertible. And say you want a red convertible. So then what you're doing is you know it's like, don't say to yourself, oh, no, it's not possible for me to get a red convertible. Already feel it and express and say, oh, thank you for my red convertible. And like they said in the Law of Attraction, so you're actually feeling it. You're smelling the leather, if you have leather within your interior, and you just live it. That's the key. You got to live it as though it already happened.
That's
way, be grateful. Thank you. First thing when you wake up in the morning, be thankful for all the things that you do have in your life and all the things that you want in your life. The same thing when you go to bed at night and ongoing through the day. You'll create it fast if you do it that way.
That's great. So one more clarification. So I'm looking at this vision board. I've cut out pictures or maybe I put affirmations up there that encourage me or reaffirm what I want to accomplish. If I have a picture of something, would I type something up or write something like a line on a piece of paper and put it underneath that picture, so it's just not the picture, but it's also, you know, what my goal is from that picture, like a new house or a big house or a new car or better physically fit. Is that the way you would do it?
Exactly. Anything, as we mentioned earlier, that to be detailed. So anything you're going to put in your vision board that's going to be detailed for you. Some people, it might be enough that they see pictures. It might be enough detailed for them that they already know the other things and they're repeating it within themselves. If you're somebody that you feel too, it's like, well, you know, I need more, even more detail than that. I have to really have it penetrate within my mind. Definitely write down on yourself little pieces of paper and attach it to your vision board as well. What I did with myself too, I put a poem on there that was inspiring that kind of, you know, blended everything together. Another thing I would do is I would go in the magazines and I would literally cut out words and make, you know, like you said, like positive affirmations or sentences that attached in detail to the picture that I put on my vision board. The more detailed that you can make it and create it, the better that it'll be real to you. See, the more that you look in the vision board, you have to start believing that this is possible, and this is an excellent tool. And having that trust and belief in yourself and understanding that miracles do happen. Miracles happen every single moment. The fact that you breathe on your own and that you don't have to be consciously aware of your breath, that's a miracle. You're a living, walking miracle. So why not manifest anything and everything that you want? You manifested yourself here. That was a big one.
Very well put, Jane. That's very well put. I wanted to read next week's affirmation, if that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our next week's affirmation comes from a very inspiring individual that you had mentioned a few weeks ago, I believe, on one of our broadcasts, and that's Viktor Frankl, who you're a very big fan of, and also I am too. The quote goes, "We are no longer able to change when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves." So I guess the focus of this affirmation is about change. Is it not, Jane?
Oh, change is sometimes a thing that we think we have to drag our feet at. Sometimes, because people think change is a scary thing. It's like if change is in their favor, they welcome it. If change they don't believe is in their favor, then they fight it every step of the way. Change is in itself what it is. We're always changing. Nothing ever stays the same.
Well, I find that people continually talk about change but are fearful of it. And I myself am guilty of that. We think that, you know, that we would like to make these changes to maybe improve on something, improve on ourselves, maybe improve on our job, to improve our lifestyle. But to make those changes, it takes a plan, it takes direction, it takes courage. And so we would really encourage our listeners to submit their questions and comments about this affirmation for next week, because I think there'd be some really interesting points of view coming from our listeners, for sure.
I'm excited about getting into next week's show. We're beginning it already.
Yes, we are. Next week will be number 10.
Mm-hmm. Yes, number 10.
Yes.
That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yes, that's...
Isn't that your number?
That's my number. That's my number, that's right. 10. And we're gonna have to go back and do some more work with our listeners, with their numbers, and actually we should encourage some of our listeners that submit questions to also submit their birth date. That would be interesting.
Sure, that would be great. Yeah, share your birthdays and I'll share some insight as to your life purpose and your path and some of your gifts.
That'd be great. Thank you very much for adding that, Jane. I'm always fascinated when I listen to you go through that process. And pardon me, go ahead.
Thank you. I was just going to say I love your insight on to do with the human heart when you come back and answer your insight into our affirmations and to do with elaborating after the questions have been submitted as well.
Well, I say at the beginning, and I'm saying it again at the end, I look forward to this time every week. I find it very good for me. I love being involved, and I learn something new every week. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, Jane?
No, I was just going to say again, as I thank you for the opportunity, and I'm grateful for it, and I'm grateful for you as well as our listeners, and I'm looking forward to next week.
Fantastic. So again, I'd like to thank all of our listeners for supporting us, and you know, on week 9, coming into week number 10. And I'd like to thank my partners in Massage Therapy Radio for supporting us and letting us use their wonderful infrastructure to put this show on every week. And I encourage our listeners to join us again next week. Same time, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're looking forward to you joining us and contributing to our next show. So for Jane Vandress and Scott Dartnell, I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us tonight. Good night, Jane.
Thank you, Scott. Good night, everyone.
Everyone, be well. Take care now.